God, knowing good and evil. It was a promising prospect. And looking again at the fruit, the woman saw that it looked ripe and delicious. So she took some and ate it. Then, turning to Adam, she gave some to him too, and he also ate it. At that moment their eyes were opened, but it wasn't anything like the serpent had suggested. They realized they were naked, and the shame was unbearable. So, reaching for fig leaves, they wove coverings for themselves. Later that day they heard the sound of God walking in the garden, and so they hid, taking cover from his sight in the thick of the trees. But God missed them and called out to Adam, "Where are you?" Adam called back, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I'm naked. And so I hid." God asked him, "Who told you that you were naked? How could you know that? Unless... Have you eaten the fruit I told you not to?" The game is up. There's nothing he can do to hide anymore, except blame the woman, and blame God for putting the woman there. So in fear and desperation, Adam tries to deflect. "The woman you put here with me, she gave me the fruit, and so I ate it." God turns to the woman. "What is this that you've done?" And she too, feeling cornered, retorts, "It was the serpent. The serpent deceived me and I ate." God turns to the serpent. "Cursed are you beyond all creatures and animals. You will crawl on your belly and eat dust for the rest of your life. And I will make you and the woman and her children and your offspring to be enemies. They will crush your head and you will strike their heel." God looks at the woman and says to her, "I will increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth. You will desire and long for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, God explains, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I told you not to, the ground you work will be cursed. It will demand all your strength to produce the harvest you need. There will be difficulties and toil, thistles and thorns that you will have to overcome. You will sweat in your pursuit of the food you need until the day you die and return to the ground from which you came. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." And then God makes warm garments out of animal skins for Adam and Eve, and he clothes them. Prologue. There was a uniform for these kind of occasions, that much I knew. It wasn't something that I was used to wearing, and as I smoothed my hand nervously over the soft suede, checking that it absolutely did cover my backside, I flinched at the drops of rain soaking into the fabric. Despite the puddles of November rain glistening orange beneath the glow of the street lights, the street still looked cold and inhospitable, the bright shop windows invading the blackness of a lonely high street shut down for the night, indifferent to the temptations on offer. I'd obeyed the crude rules as far as I knew them, dismissing the multitude of long floral skirts and comfy jeans hanging in my wardrobe until I found the only thing that would meet the requirement. A damson suede miniskirt. Paired with a lycra bodysuit that stretched over my curveless frame, I had assessed my reflection in the mirror earlier. Short skirt. Check. Tight top. Check. Stilettos. Groan. My belief that high heels should be confined to weddings and the catwalk was compromised by a pair of high-heeled Mary Janes. The whole ensemble felt like a chore, a collusion with the regulation set out for 17-year-old girls, and completely impractical ones at that, I thought, as I grabbed the skimpiest jacket I owned and headed out to the bus stop. Those who devised the uniform weren't thinking of our well-being when they dictated that we wear as little as possible on a rainy November night. They weren't thinking about the queue in which we'd stand freezing as we tried to curve round into the sheltered alley in front of Mark